I call this meeting of Sylvania City Council for July 18th, 2022 to order. Would the clerk please call the roll?
Mr. Frye?
Here.
Mr. Hanson?
Here.
Mr. Hanam?
Here.
Mr. McCann?
Here.
Mr. Richardson? Absent. Mrs., or, I'm sorry, Ms. Stow?
Here.
Mrs. Westfall is absent.
Both Mr. Richardson and Mrs. Westfall are excused, and five members of City Council are present, so a quorum does exist. We welcome our guests here. We'll move right to our Pledge of Allegiance this meeting, led by Ms. Stow.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Additions to the agenda I'd like to add is 4A, introduction of our new police officer. Mr. Frye, do you have any additions to the agenda?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I'd like to add a, I'm not sure exactly where it should go, a brief conversation about the fireworks situation.
Let's put it down as 13. Other members of City Council, additions or changes to the agenda? Hearing none. Mr. Sanford?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Schreier?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Captain Newbaker?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Allen?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Mrs. Briney?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
With that, is there a motion to approve the agenda as amended?
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the agenda as amended. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and our agenda is approved for this evening's meeting. Agenda item four is approval of the meeting minutes from our last meeting on June 20th. Mr. Frye?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to move adoption of the meeting minutes for the council meeting of June 20th, 2022.
Second.
As submitted.
Sorry, second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the meeting minutes as submitted. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and those meeting minutes are approved. Added agenda item 4A is the introduction of our new police officer. Over the years, we've made it an effort to bring all these officers in so that you can meet them and they can meet you. We have a new hire. We've been doing a lot of hires in the last few years as officers retire. So, Captain, take it away.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Wanted to introduce our new police officer. This is Mitchell Boragina.
Nice to meet you. Welcome.
So Mitchell, or Mitch as he prefers to be referred to, today's his very first day in uniform, working the streets in field training. He's actually been with us for 2 weeks. During those first 2 weeks, we do things like get all the city paperwork squared away, we go to the range, do all the preliminary items to get him ready so that once he gets his field training, he's off to the races. Field training typically lasts somewhere between 10 and 16 weeks. We're lucky Mitch comes to us with about 4 years of experience. So he's got a leg up on a rookie police officer still on the academy.
Captain, if we ask what that experience has been, where you served in Ottawa, very good. And you chose to come to Sylvania because you liked it here so much?
Correct.
Okay. Good choice.
It's funny, Mitch and I were talking the other day, this is like his destination vacation. He can be anywhere, he said in Pennsylvania.
I'm not sure it's vacation, but it's a good destination. All right. Sheriff wants to take a picture of the three of us. How long will we be on road patrol training?
So typically between 10 and 16 weeks. Depending on, you know, how quickly he picks up the information. There's about, they've identified between 1,500 and 1,600 tasks a police officer has to learn, so. Busy job, we try to get as many of those crammed in there while we still let them on.
Training officer?
Yeah, this officer Brandon Merlin, he's one of our field training officers on afternoon shift. Brad is a rock star for me. I supervise the FTO program here, and Brad is my go-to guy. Anything I ask, you know, he's quick to jump up and take care of it. He's actually kind of revamped the entire program, was that 3 years ago? And he's a modest guy.
So we got a rock star or vacation.
And then we'll cap it either.
Thank you all.
Thanks, guys.
Okay, back to the published agenda. We're up to agenda item five. These are annual assessment ordinances. I think you've seen some of this in the past. These are annual events. We do them this time of the year so they get on the tax duplicate properly for next year's tax bills that come out in January. They're for ditch maintenance, street lighting, and tree maintenance. Kevin, I believe the ditch maintenance one was reworked a few years ago, and this year, street lighting has a new calculation method. We did not, it's gone from some valuation to front footage. It is not intended to raise more money. We had to make some corrections in it. Mr. Hanum's son came forward and pointed out that there were corner properties that were being assessed on both frontages, and that's been straightened out.
He figured that out on his own.
I bet he did. And he explained to me how it happened.
We saw the number.
Yeah.
So I think that's all squared away, but we need to get these passed for our special tax assessments. I'm going to have Mr. McCann do the first of them as the chair of utilities and also a member of the street committee that's here. Mr. McCann, you get the first two.
May I ask a couple of questions?
Absolutely.
To Mr. Allen? Thank you. Can you characterize the rates of last year versus what we're going to this year? As I see on the first one, say, small residential, less than 9,900 square feet, $15 a year. So how would that compare with last year?
Unchanged.
Do we know? Unchanged. Okay, and then...
It is a change from a few years ago.
Which means the calculation or the rate?
Yeah, the calculation, the method of calculation. The ditch maintenance used to be done on a front footage basis, and 4 years ago, I think about four years ago, we changed that to a calculation based on impervious area. So rooftops, driveways, things of that nature. And then we standardize our small lots and our large lots. And then our non-residential properties are assessed based on their actual impervious area. So that was done about 4 years ago. That method's unchanged. The rates that are in here are unchanged. So it's just a matter of reviewing new things that come in somewhat. So we had to do a calculation on that property.
So it looks like with the rate that you came up with some 4 years ago, it has worked well for the city regarding the cost and delivery.
Yes.
Needs. Okay. Great. All right, I'll move ahead. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
First is Ordinance 62, 2022.
I'd like to introduce by title only, Ordinance Number 61-2022, to assess a special tax upon the lots and lands described in the schedule referred to herein to pay a part of the cost and expense of providing for the construction, maintenance, repair, cleaning, and enclosing open drainage ditches within the corporate limits of the City of Sylvania for the year ending December 31, 2022. I move passage of Ordinance Number 61-2022 as an emergency measure.
Second. It's been moved and seconded for passage of Ordinance Number 61-2022 as an emergency measure. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and ordinance 61-2022 is enacted as an emergency measure. Now on to the second one, which is for street 62-2022.
And I'll pose the same question to Mr. Aller. I'm not seeing a rate. Is there a, or did I miss it? Because I see the total cost.
That was in the resolution of necessity that was passed in the June meeting, I believe. The rates were in that resolution for the streetlight assessments.
That's the one where we went from 8 to 4, different rates, right?
Yep.
Thank you for the recollection. All right, I'll move on. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce by title only, ordinance number 62-2022. Ordinance approving the assessments heretofore authorizing by resolution number 6-2022 for street lighting, levying said assessments. I move for passage of ordinance number 62-2022 as an emergency measure.
Second.
Been moved and seconded for passage of ordinance number 62-2022 as an emergency measure. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and ordinance 62-2022 is enacted as an emergency measure. Moving on to agenda item 5C, proposed ordinance 63-2022, which is for tree maintenance. Mr. Hanson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce by title only, ordinance number 63-2022, to assess a special tax upon the lots and lands described in the schedule referred to herein, to pay a part of the cost and expense of providing for the removal and special treatment of shade trees for the purpose of controlling blight and disease of same, and for planting, maintaining, trimming, and removing shade trees in and along the streets and within public right-of-way of the city for the year ending December 31st, 2022. I move for passage of ordinance 63-2022 as an emergency measure.
Second. Been moved and seconded for passage of ordinance number 63-2022 as an emergency measure. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and ordinance 63-2022 is enacted as an emergency measure. These are our special assessments. We do not assess in Sylvania for snow removal or for leaf collection, as some municipalities do. Let's move on to agenda item 6, which is proposed ordinance 64-2022. This is entered in agreement with the Regional Addiction Diversion Program of the Board of Lucas County Commissioners. Mrs. Brining.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Sylvania Municipal Court has participated in the Regional Addiction Diversion Program since 2015. The last agreement, an increase in the rate, was in 2019. There is an increase in the per diem rate, but the annual cost is $15,576. The court has requested that they continue to participate in this program, and I believe it was the case in the past, I believe this is still the case, that this is actually paid out of the court's indigent fund, so it's not a out of our general fund, a general fund expense. And I've spoken with the probation officer of the court, and he's requested that this agreement be approved and authorized.
Thank you. Mr. Fry.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce ordinance number 64-2022 and read by title only. Authorizing the mayor and director of finance to enter into an agreement for the Regional Addiction Diversion Program on behalf of the City of Sylvania, Ohio, with the Board of Lucas County Commissioners for the provision of court addiction diversion services through the Lucas County Court of Common Pleas Work Release Court Addiction Diversion Program to Sylvania Municipal Court. I move passage of ordinance number 64-2022 as an emergency measure.
Second. Been moved and seconded for passage of ordinance number 64-2022 as an emergency measure. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and ordinance 64-2022 is enacted as an emergency measure. Agenda item 7 is a similar issue. This one is with Lucas County for the health district contribution that we make every year. This is to extend our contract with the health district for another year. Further comments on that, Mrs. Brining?
No, that's it, Mayor.
No change in price?
Nothing. Simply an expense.
The price is modified occasionally based on population and property values. No change this year. Mr. Frye?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce ordinance number 65-2022 and read by title only. Authorizing the mayor and director of finance to enter into an amended agreement with the chairman of the Lucas County General Health District Advisory Council for a contract providing for the administration of health and environmental affairs in the regional combined health district. I move passage of ordinance number 65-2022 as an emergency measure.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded for passage of ordinance number 65-2022 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and ordinance 65-2022 is enacted as an emergency measure. Moving to agenda item 8. This is part of our project to widen Monroe Street, improve the intersection at Silica, and we've also rolled the Silica Bridge into that same project. I would like the service director to tell us about this project, and then but we do need to correct the number on your ordinance that's in your packets. You might as well know the extent of what this is costing. It's 8B. The number in the last line of the title is not $38,142. It is $643,423. Now, Mr. Allard can explain to us why it's so expensive and how we are handling this expense. Mr. Allard.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. As part of the Monroe Silica project, obviously we have the crossing there just beside the courts building. As part of the project, with the widening that's going on, that crossing also needs to be widened, which means that the gates need to be modified. There will be a center island, if you will, at the railroad track with this new signal. Because of the width that is going to be, that's a railroad requirement. as you, I'm sure you've heard me say before, you know, what the railroad wants, the railroad gets. We've had a lot of discussions as much as we could on this to try to minimize the costs and the needs, but at the end of the day, their requirements are what we have to live by. So.
We're here first.
Yeah. We have been successful. We actually went through 3 different programs. The first 2 we were unsuccessful with, but we have been successful. This $642,000 expense, we've been able to obtain a PUCO, Public Utilities Commission of Ohio, grant in the amount of $360,000.
How much?
Fifty-six percent. It is a percentage-based grant, so should the railroad costs come down, so will our grant proceeds. But the grant basically will cover 56% of the project expense. And I'll note that $360,000 that PUCO has agreed to is basically 36% of the budget. They only have $1 million statewide to use on projects like this, and we were able to obtain $360,000. So they were good to work with through this process. So this agreement, we initially had intended to bring this to you in 2023 when the project moves forward, but because of the PUCO grant, in order to get that locked into their funding cycle, because they work on a July to June type budget, we needed to have the construction agreement in place in order to execute the PUCO grant agreement. So we're coming to a little earlier than we had planned on this, but the end result is going to be the same. So,
and the expenditure will be next year?
And the expenditure will be next year.
Okay. Yeah. So it'll be in next year's budget?
Yeah.
Okay.
We recommend an agreement. It's pretty standard construction agreement with the railroad company, and we recommend its approval.
And the remainder of the expense is built into the construction budget already?
Yes, yeah, the remainder, any cost that we would have is included in the construction budget. It also counts towards our percentage of the project and things like that. So this isn't an additional expense. It's just part of our portion of the project. So.
Mr. Allen, a few questions. The amounts that were previously approved, the 38 grand and the 8,000, that's the 642 includes those numbers or doesn't include those?
It does not include.
Okay.
Those previous numbers were for engineering services.
Okay.
This $642,423 is for the construction costs.
Got it. And you mentioned the island or whatever the terminology of art is with the railroad in the center because of the width of the, this once the project is completed. Are there any other changes, gates or anything else that the community would see associated with this construction after it's completed? Are we going to have like gates that come down like you would see in a lot of more heavily traveled railroad crossings?
It unfortunately is going to be a little more unsightly because again, because of the width. The new requirement now is the, you know, when the gates go down, that it also blocks the pedestrian access. So because of that, there are going to be heavier mast arms, if you will, much like you see with the traffic signal. Those are one of the things that we tried very hard to talk them off of to no avail.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Unfortunate, but again, they have their own safety factors, safety sure. things they have to be concerned about.
Right. Understood, but a train traveling 2 miles an hour, but whatever.
Yeah.
Rules are the rules.
Yeah.
There had been talk a few years ago of reinstalling the track north of where it currently stops at the grain elevator and reconnecting it with the line in Michigan to make the delivery of grain to the port quicker than it is right now. Right now it goes out across Route 20 about Delta. We've heard nothing more about that. That would have resulted in 3 or 4 trains a day.
Yeah.
But we're just not hearing anything about it.
No.
And that's not why this is happening. If one train goes across it, it has to meet their standards.
Mm-hmm. All right. Any further questions for Mr. Heller? If not, we do have ordinance 66-2022, and I think I gave you the wrong number. It's 642,423. I might have told you 643,000.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce by title only ordinance number 66-2022, authorizing the mayor and director of finance to enter into construction agreement with North Dakota Southern Railroad Company relative to the Monroe and Silica Improvement Project, appropriating funds therefore in the amount of $642,423. I move for passage of ordinance number 66-2022 as an emergency measure.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded for passage of ordinance number 66-2022 as amended. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and ordinance 66-2022 is enacted as an emergency measure. Moving on to agenda item 9. There are 5 acquisitions of right-of-way for this same project included here. We have 5 council members here tonight, so I have one of your names on each one of these. Let's let Mr. Aller explain what we're doing. And then we've got 5 of them. With more to come in the future.
More to come in the future, yes. I imagine our August meeting will probably be pretty heavy with additional easements that involve the project. The first one here is an agreement with the Toledo Lucas County Public Library. It is for a permanent right-of-way take along the south side of Monroe Street. As well as temporary construction easement just to be used during the construction of the project. The amount going to the library, agreed to with the library, is $4,533. These were anticipated expenses in this year's budget and were budgeted, and we recommend approval of the agreement.
All right, we do have ordinance 67-2022 for this one, and Mr. Hanam, I have your name on it first.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move adoption of ordinance number 67-2022, I will read by title only, authorizing the mayor and director of finance to enter into a purchase agreement with the Toledo Lucas County Public Library for the Monroe and Silica Improvement Project and Silica Drive Bridge Replacement Project, dedicating the same for public purposes, appropriating funds therefore in the amount of $4,533, and I move adoption of ordinance 67-2022 as an emergency measure.
Second. And moved and seconded for passage of ordinance number 67-2022 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and ordinance 67-2022 is enacted as an emergency measure. Going to the back page of our agenda, we're up to 9B. This is a similar one. Mr. Aller.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This is also in the same project. This is for just a temporary construction easement with Louisville Title Agency. This is one of the properties of the businesses across the street from the courts building. It's primarily a parking area. There is a building in the rear of it, but it's primarily a parking lot is where this parcel stretches across. This agreement was in the amount of $17,745, and we do recommend approval.
Mr. Aller, could you explain a little bit of how these numbers were reached? I mean, I'm sure some of it's based on the size of the land, right? But jumping from 4,000 for where we get a permanent easement and a partial, whereas this one, it's all a temporary one, but it's, you know, three times as much. Yeah.
There are a lot of things taken into it. The appraisal companies that are used on these project or not projects take into a thing the uses of the land, the what is going to be impacted with the construction of the project, mm-hmm. and things of that nature. When you take a look at a business parcel that has operating businesses in it, that has more value than a school property or a city property or anything like that because of the operations that take place. I don't pretend to understand everything that the appraisal companies go through on these, but I know that it's very structured and it's the same on every piece of property.
Okay.
When you take a look at some of these numbers, it does make you kind of scratch your head and say how they come up with it.
Mm-hmm.
They use the same formula, the same everything on every piece of property.
Okay. Well, it's nice to hear that this is done by a third party and that it uses the same formula, and it's not we have this person who's holding out and that's why they're getting 30,000 as opposed to three.
Yeah, all of these were the offers made. They were the appraised value.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right, we do have ordinance 68-2022 for this one. Mr. Hanson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce by title only ordinance number 68-2022, accepting a temporary construction easement from Louisville Title Agency for Northwest Ohio Inc., trustee for the Monroe and Silica Improvement Project and Silica Drive Bridge Replacement Project, dedicating the temporary easement for public purposes, appropriating funds therefore in the amount of $17,745. I move for passage of ordinance number 68-2022 as an emergency measure.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded for passage of ordinance number 68-2022 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries, and ordinance 68-2022 is enacted as an emergency measure. Up to agenda item 9C. Mr. Aller.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The next property is also a temporary construction easement. This property is under the name of Sylvania Limited Liability Company. It is the parcel directly adjacent to the railroad tracks in Monroe Street, right there. I always call it the old demo building, but it's, that's what I always remember being in there. So, but it's that piece of property. This one, to your point, Mrs. Stile, this one increases to $33,550. I do know that this is a larger use up for construction. And there is going to be damage to the wall, that retaining wall that's currently there. That will be put back, but because of the damage, they get increased costs. So we recommend approval of this easement as well.
We have ordinance 69-2022, Mr. McCann.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce by title only, ordinance number 69-2022, accepting a temporary construction easement from Sylvania Limited Liability Company for the Monroe and Silica Improvement Project and Silica Drive Bridge Replacement Project, dedicating the temporary easement for public purposes, appropriating funds therefore in the amount of $33,550. I move for passage of ordinance number 69-2022 as an emergency measure.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded for passage of ordinance number 69-2022 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and ordinance 69-2022 is enacted as an emergency measure. Agenda item 9D, Mr. Aller.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The next easement that we have before you is also a temporary construction easement. This agreement is with the Board of Sylvania Township Trustees. It's basically a fire station property. And we've talked with them. Obviously, ingress egress is a big issue with them during construction, and we've worked with those issues. We'll continue to work with them during construction, obviously. And have come to an agreement on this property of $16,740, and we recommend approval.
We have ordinance 70-2022. Ms. Stile.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce ordinance number 70-2022 and read by title only. Accepting a temporary construction easement from Board of Sylvania Township Trustees for the Monroe and Silica Improvement Project and Silica Drive Bridge Replacement Project, dedicating the temporary easement for public purposes, appropriating funds therefore in the amount of $16,740. I move for passage of ordinance number 70-2022 as an emergency measure.
Second. Moved and seconded for passage of ordinance number 70-2022 as an emergency measure. Mr. Hingham.
Why are we paying the township for temporary easement for access to improve this project and product? I mean, I understand the private property.
Yeah, they are due. They are similar to any other property.
I mean, they're us. We are them. I mean, we are part of the township, right?
Yes.
Yeah. This is our fire station. Right?
It's the township's fire station.
Well.
Last meeting, I believe the city did not charge for its easement for this project. We could ask the township for that. They did not offer that. That is an interesting question. The library, we're going to be doing the library.
The ask was made?
The ask was made.
Okay. Yeah. Wasn't one of the earlier ones the library?
Yeah.
That's public property, too.
How much do they pay for street lighting?
The same as all other properties.
Do they?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
On a permanent basis.
All right, we do have ordinance 70-2022. Ms. Stile introduced it. It's been moved and seconded for passage. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. And ordinance 70-2022 is enacted as an emergency measure. And then the fifth one for tonight, 9E, Mr. Allen.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The last one for this evening is also a temporary construction easement with Variety Investment Properties. That's basically Sylvania Center, right up front door here, going towards Monroe. And the metal detection company, he's a person.
He owns the whole?
Oh, he owns the whole thing. The amount of this easement is $3,288. And we recommend approval.
We do have ordinance 71-2022. Mr. Fry.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce ordinance number 71-2022, and I will read by title only. Accepting a temporary construction easement from Brady Investment Properties LLC for the Monroe and Silica Improvement Project and Silica Bridge Drive Replacement Project. Dedicating the temporary easement for public purposes, appropriating funds therefore in the amount of $3,288. I move passage of ordinance number 71-2022 as an emergency measure.
Second. Moved and seconded for passage of ordinance number 71-2022 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and ordinance 71-2022 is enacted as an emergency measure. How many more approximately of these do we have coming?
Probably about 15. I think we have just over 20, I believe.
And these are all accounted for in the budget?
Yes.
Okay.
Actually, the values are coming in less than what we did budgeted, so that is really in good shape.
I did have a couple of the property owners contact me directly and tell me that they've been contacted by the firm to work on the easements. I told them to get back to me if they had any concerns or didn't feel it was right, and I've heard from them.
It's not
going
to work.
Hope it keeps going that way. It is a lot of work.
Yes.
And I just can't even imagine what attorneys went through to build the interstate system like I-473-75 through town. Just imagine what work that took to assemble that right. All right, thank you. We're now up to agenda item 10. This is an item that was referred to the Planning Commission for property located at 4215 North McCord Road. The Plan Commission recommends back to you that the zoning be changed from R1 to R3 PD. The clerk has identified September 6th as the earliest available date for a public hearing. If you recall from the last meeting, I think you saw drawings on this, it is a narrow parcel, only wide enough for an access road and units on one side. It is similar to what was put in across from McCord Junior High School, but that was a loop drive. And it was approved by City Council after considerable discussion to have own units around the outside and the rental units on the inside. As currently shown, this is all rental units. We do not have the fire department's comments back, but I suspect some of the units may go away to allow for a larger turnaround at the east, at the west end. That's conjecture on my part. I do recommend that the public hearing be set so that the adjacent property owners can be notified. Mr. Hayden.
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, I looked at the minutes of the Municipal Planning Commission.
Mm-hmm.
You just mentioned the fire department recommendation. Was that discussed at all at the?
It was only reported by the zoning administrator that they didn't have those comments back.
Okay.
And that this was probably not the final engineered drawing for approval. This is what they have in mind. It shows the width of the road, the privacy fence, the setbacks that are required. The Plan Commission discussed this for about an hour. It was quite a discussion.
Extensive notes, yeah.
They came to the realization that to the north, which is Victoria Court, the distance from the property line to the new construction would be about the same as it would be if they were single-family homes, reflect what's on Victoria Court. But in between that would be this access road. which will be a private road, so they will have traffic closer to their house. A privacy fence is shown on the current drawing, which is necessary, I think, by our code, but also to block headlights and things like that. People backing in and out of their driveways, not going into people's bedrooms. On the south side are condominiums, most of which butt into the property sideways, so the sides of the condominiums are against the property. And some of those are as close, I think one of them is even closer to the property line than these proposed units. This is a difficult site to develop, and this is what the proposals come in with. Again, it's a PD, so City Council would have more control over what they are proposing. But once the zoning change is made, ownership can be changed, plans can be changed, but they have to meet a PD approval of the city and City Council.
So the Planning Commission approved this with the expectation that there would be further amendments to the PD before Council.
They approved the proposed zoning change based on the preliminary drawing they were given.
So we'll need five votes to change the the plan.
Yes.
We should be able to get that. Okay.
This one was the one.
Yeah, this is
North on McCord Road was very contentious. There were neighborhood meetings going on, if you recall.
I do.
We think that it's turned out very well.
Yeah.
I have toured one of those units, one of the rental units in the middle. At the invitation of former Councilman Sandy Hussman, we went and gave them a home-warming gift, and they showed us around, and she was very pleased with us. She discussed it. She said, I wasn't too sure about these places, but they're very happy with it and with the way it's being managed. That doesn't mean you're going to end up with the same developer. Right now it is, but all that can change.
Yeah. Well, the neighbors haven't yet been notified.
They have not.
So they will be notified
be quite interesting.
About the when we do the public hearing. Okay. I mean, Dave did a good job on his last development, but we have to be very careful with his PD approval.
Yeah, I agree.
And I know Brian.
And I would hope by then you will have new plans based with the fire department's comments. The turnaround that was shown on the west end is big enough hardly to turn around a car, let alone a delivery truck or a fire truck.
Okay.
It was a back around, one where you pull forward, you back into the turnaround, and you pull and turn right getting out of it. So the only action required tonight is to set the public hearing date for September 6th.
Correct. All right, well, Mr. Mayor, I move that we set a public hearing on ZA-2-2022 as approved by the Planning Commission.
As recommended.
I'm sorry, as recommended by the Planning Commission for September 6th, 2022. And I think we ought to do that at probably 6:30.
I think we're gonna have a number of interested citizens.
Yes, I think so too. So, I think 6:30 should be enough.
We can run into the council meeting
if we have to. For 6:30 on September 6, 2022.
Second.
We moved and seconded to set the public hearing date and advertise for a public hearing for ZA-1-2022 for Tuesday, September 6th at 6:30 p.m. in these council chambers. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. And the clerk is ordered to advertise and notify as necessary. Only action required tonight. Moving on to agenda item 11. This is also a zoning issue. This was for ZA, excuse me, it was ZA2 2022. I was reading the next one. This one is ZA1 2022, and this was for the change of zoning proposed up on Alexis Road. This was discussed at the zoning committee meeting, and Mr. Hanem, I guess we should have a report of the zoning committee.
Yeah, and I left my briefcase at home, so I don't have notes, so I'm going to do the best I can from recollection. But we did have a zoning annexation committee meeting on July 7th, 2022, and we considered this particular zoning ordinance as well as a proposal to look at zoning generally from what's the name of her company?
Environmental Design Group.
Environmental Design Company, yeah. We recommended moving forward, that we would at appropriate time move forward to consider the contract. We didn't get that on the agenda for tonight. We're going to do that in August.
There was no motion made in your committee meeting, so we're awaiting this direction. I wasn't at the meeting, but that's what was reported to me.
Well, we'll deal with that after we deal with this ordinance number 60-2022. And coming out of the meeting, we recommended approving the ZA1-2022 as recommended by the Planning Commission.
All right, you do have in your packets ordinance 60-2022 to approve that zoning change. If you'd like to introduce it tonight, Mr. Hanem.
Yeah, I can do that. I would like to move adoption of ordinance number 60-2022, and I will read by title only, approving the recommendation of the Municipal Planning Commission to approve petition for zoning order ordinance amendment number ZA-1-2022 on the petition of the Hammond Brothers LLC to change the zoning of 5601 to 5609 West Alexis Road, Sylvania, Ohio, and I move adoption of ordinance number 60-2022 as an emergency measure.
Second. It's been moved and seconded for passage of ordinance 60-2022 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and ordinance 60-2022 is enacted as an emergency measure.
Mr. Mayor, we don't have it on our agenda, but I would like to order legislation to adopt the Environmental Design Group third revision proposal dated May 23rd, 2022 at our August meeting.
Okay. Sorry, we didn't have that clarified before, but we didn't think it was a problem to wait.
I don't think it is.
Let's have a motion to that effect.
I think I just made that motion.
I think you did. We need a second.
Second.
We moved and seconded to prepare legislation for Michelle Johnson's proposed zoning code review. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and we'll have that ready for you at our next meeting on August 15th. I think, anything else you want to talk about from the zoning committee meeting, Mr. Hanem?
Oh, no, that's enough.
That's enough. Are there any other committee reports to be made at this time? Or committee referrals? Let's move on to added agenda item 13 then. Mr. Fry asked for a discussion of fireworks. Mr. Fry.
Well, thank you, Mr. Mayor. First, obviously, I don't know how many of you were able to view the fireworks display that was, I guess the way I would characterize it is better late than never, I suppose. I was actually at Centennial Terrace. I know Mr. McCann was as well. I don't recall seeing anybody else, but I may have missed you. If I did, I apologize. The actual display itself appeared to me, and obviously we're doing things from 12 months of memory, it appeared to me to be a more significant display than what we've seen in past years. And I think that may have been Zambelli's way of saying we're sorry. But I have, and I imagine many other members of council have, a lot of questions about this. And I know that I've had some conversations with Mr. Sanford about getting somebody who is not the salesperson from Zambelli, because that person, you know, is the salesperson. And while his job is to take some flack, this decision obviously was made above his head, or at least I would assume that'd be the case. And I don't know whether we've got a confirmation of the potential attendance of someone from Zambelli at the August council meeting by any chance, Mr. Sanford?
We do not at this point, but they have responded that they would be more than happy to attend a council meeting. And I gave him the August meeting and the two in September as dates to look at, and I've not, he hasn't gotten back to me yet.
Right. So there's a number of moving parts here, as you're all well aware. First, in no particular order, I'm just going off the top of my head. My understanding is, Mrs. Briney, we've paid half, is that correct? Or we've not paid the other half, is that correct, Mr.?
We have not paid anything yet.
So we've not paid the original down. So we've not paid the original 50%.
Correct.
Okay. So that the entire balance for this year's display is still outstanding.
We just received an invoice late last week for $35,000.
For the entire amount, it was, okay. Second, there's contractual circumstances that need to be evaluated, in that the contract itself called for the display to be on the 3rd, and obviously it wasn't. We have partners involved with this. As you recall, the city holds the contract, but the township is also a co-sponsor of this, along, and the trustees pay their 50% of the non amounts that are coming from Coca-Cola or other people who are sponsoring the program. So we have some obligation to them as well. So I was interested to hear what other members of council's comments or concerns might be at this juncture. I believe that it would be helpful to have a meeting, get somebody in from Zambelli to give us some explanation. But I also want to, if at all possible, include the trustees in some form or fashion, since they, even though we hold the contract, they are also involved in this. I do believe that there was still significant attendance, but how strong it was at places that I wasn't, you know, I wasn't there, like Bay Center and local parties for the members and citizens of our community, I don't have any sense of that. It seemed like it was an awful festive occasion still, but it certainly did not reach what we have seen in the past, in my judgment, on the 3rd. Any other comments or questions?
I wanted to make a comment on attending the event. A positive was for SageR to be able to pivot to the 8th from the 3rd, and I wanted to commend Mike McMahon and SageR and the other agencies involved in moving the event with the volunteers and staff of that event. It went off. Every person that I spoke with, interacted with that evening, it was very positive. And of course, the after, people were happy with the result. The show, I thought, was tremendous. But yes, I too would like to have some kind of a post event discussion with the vendor and find out what our options are, how their decision making came about, etc.
Yeah, I agree with you, Mr. McCann. I think that's commenting. You're right. I should have mentioned, and I apologize. Our police officers, the civilian township police officers, and our fire fighters from the township, as usual, were able to do that, as well as SageR, to rearrange their schedule and do all of that work. So we appreciate that effort by all of those entities as well. So any other comments or questions?
Mr. Frye?
I wanted, oh, I'm sorry, go right ahead.
Oh, okay. I wanted to say I also would like to, a meeting to discuss this further. And in particular, I would be interested in discussing sort of the point of no return date type of thing. I know there were assurances from the company sooner that they were good to go ahead, but then it was a very late notice that it wasn't going to work. And so I'm wondering, I'd be interested in having a conversation about whether in future contracts, whether for the fireworks or for other large events, if we could have some sort of, whether it'd be worth having some sort of clause of, hey, up until this date, you know, this is what it would be to cancel after this date, something, so that we have this in writing or some sort of known penalty, because they might have told us 2 weeks ahead if we'd have already had something written down saying this is what's going to happen if you back out at the last minute. So I'd be interested in a conversation about cancellation dates.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I agree as well with what Ms. Stow said. I think we need to look at the contract and see if there's an opportunity to amend it as written, or if not, look at, you know, what we can do in the future to prevent this from happening again.
I agree with what all of you have said. I want to make sure we do this in the appropriate forum. You normally don't negotiate things at a city council meeting. You would pass an ordinance. This might be more appropriate to put in the committee of the whole before the council meeting. You can do it during a council meeting, but that's not normal procedure. And I don't know how it affects the township trustees. If there are two or more of them who want to attend, we could just notify them of the meeting and their administrator, and one member can come with no problem. But if more than that want to come, then it's a joint meeting. It would not be a standard council meeting. It might be a joint meeting of your committee, the whole, and them, or something like that. So there's two questions there. My personal opinion is that it should be a committee meeting ahead of council, and then you would take action at a council meeting if you're making a change to the remaining year on the contract. And then it really seems like the Ottawa voice invites the township trustees, and we'll have to find out, you know, do we need to declare a joint meeting with them, or can they just send their administrator and one representative, which doesn't require a joint meeting?
Yeah, I concur with you, Mayor. I think it should be for council. I think, but we need to hear back from the company on their time frame. Obviously, we have the one meeting in August. If we need some other time frame, I suppose that's possible. But bluntly, I would prefer to be in front of a council meeting if possible. Mr. Samper, you have a comment?
Just a couple quick things that I hope to get that date confirmed this week. I think that can happen. And I have talked to the township. I told their administrator, Oliver Turner, our intention to have some type of meeting, and that there would be an invitation to them to attend. So they know something's coming. And I agree, because it's, again, after the sponsorships are deducted, you know, the invoice, like you said, was $35,000. We split the cost with the township or whatever that remaining cost is after the sponsorship. So they're an equal partner, but the city's always taking the lead in signing the contract and getting it put together.
And we should notify Sageyard leadership as well.
Yes.
That we're meeting. My recommendation is that you have a motion and to schedule the committee of the whole meeting on August the 15th at 7 o'clock or something like that. And if they can't make it, we'll just let you know that we're going to push that meeting to another date, if that's all right.
I'm fine with that, Mayor. I'll make a motion to schedule a committee of the whole regarding the conversation with Jeff Belli, with fireworks, people from Zambelli in attendance, so I'll make that motion.
Second.
And moved and seconded to schedule a committee of the whole meeting for Monday, August the 15th at 7 o'clock? or do you think it should be earlier?
I think there's going to be some.
There could be interest.
Mr. Sanford?
Mayor, I'm not sure we can set that date until we know.
We can set it, we'll just cancel it, but we need to set it.
We have to set it in council.
Or we can't do it. But they can't come, we'll not have that meeting and we'll set another one in September.
Got it.
Let's schedule it for 6:30, because I probably have 15 or 20 minutes of questions by myself. Depending on the person who's from Zambelli who actually shows up.
Okay, so it's moved and seconded to have a schedule a committee of the whole meeting for Monday, August 15th at 7:30 PM in these council chambers.
No, 6:30.
6:30, excuse me, to discuss.
Who seconded?
The fireworks contract.
Oh, Marcus.
Was there a second?
Yes.
Marcus was the second, I thought so. I'm not sure what time I said, but I meant 6:30. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion carries. We will let both the township trustees and SAGEART know, and they will need to declare a meeting of themselves if they're going to come in more than an administrator and one member of one township trustee. So good, we're off to the start, and we will, Mr. Sanford will keep you notified as to whether that date's going to hold or not.
Mr. Fry, what's our direction on the payment to that? Because we're talking a month away now.
Well, we haven't approved the change to the contract. So, anytime we have to approve the change to the contract. That's in our charter.
I don't know that I'm in a position, Mr. Schroeder, to make a comment about the. I mean, I can give you my personal opinion, but I think that's an administrative decision on payment based upon the terms and conditions of the contract as it stands.
So file a contract.
Did the contract call for a 50% advance payment?
Almost for sure. Going from my recollection.
I thought it did.
In the past.
Yes.
In which case, I think that can be made, but we can't make any more than that. But you're making more of a statement if you withhold. They only give you an invoice for the whole amount. You can't pay that.
Right, we can't pay that. I thought the contract called for a 50%.
But they did not submit an invoice for that amount.
An invoice.
When they're told that we're not going to pay it, they may submit a revised invoice for that. Right now, I
don't want to, I think we had not, my record, and I haven't looked at the contract in 2 years, at least.
I have.
I know you've looked at it more recently.
I have.
And there is.
As you might imagine.
And there is a 50%.
There is a 50%. My recollection is there's a 50% clause.
That we would have paid in June sometime.
That's always due in February.
Yeah, that was supposed to be due well before this, but they didn't. Apparently invoices on.
We've done that in our previous years, but this year they did not invoice.
And if they don't invoice us, obviously.
Okay, well, I just want to say on the record, I don't want to damage our relationship with these people. I think, what I want to do is fix this relationship. I don't want to damage it. So, if tell them to invoice us for half and we'll address the rest of it in August. Because we need to, because council needs to amend the contract as we change the date. Dates are specified in the contract. Yeah.
The dates for invoicing?
Yeah.
No, for the performances.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yes.
So
third
we need
and the
to.
Fifth.
So you can tell them, we don't need to stiffen. We want to talk to them, and council needs to act because the date's in the contract, and the charter requires us to amend the. And then approve an amendment to the contract to the different date.
Okay.
How's that? Yeah.
Mr. Hayden, Mr. Fry, just maybe just a couple other comments on it. That in the, I think there was a clockwork, but two things happened. One being COVID year, where there were no fireworks, because this should have been the last year of the senior contract. Secondly, our representative changed this year, and I think that has everything to do with.
people now that I've talked to, it's their belly. And I know that they're embarrassed, upset, and they've been good with calling up with a phone call, they haven't been jerks or anything, you know, like that. So, yeah, this is, you know, they just couldn't fulfill the contract, and I think they really thought they had it covered until we got that call that day, and they had to make some quick decisions. So, it's something never mind, but between.
Right.
And talking to them directly is probably a good first step.
Right, and to me, that's the key. We gotta understand.
Right.
The balls and the strikes of what occurred, using the baseball analogy of how did we get to that position? And to Ms. Stouth's point, how did we get to that position, you know, when the clock was, you know, gonging six on midnight, you know, 4 days in advance rather than 4 weeks in advance, which would have given us potentially some other avenues.
All right. We have that committee of the whole meeting scheduled. We'll keep you posted. That's the last agenda item. For information items, this, we had D distributed to your seats tonight. This is your quarterly reports, which I always encourage you to review and put in your binders. If there's no further business, is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded to adjourn. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and this council stands adjourned until their next regular meeting 4 weeks from tonight on Monday, August the 15th at 7:30 p.m. following a committee of the whole meeting. Thank you all for attending.